I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family this past week. And my family went to spend time together with our friends. It was wonderful. Ate too much, though. Anyway, it's hard to believe that we are entering into the last month of this year, isn't it? As we are wrapping up this year, I'd like to revisit our goal for 2017. If you remember the banner there, it says Jubilee. If you remember last January, I designated this year to be the year of Jubilee. Jubilee means release or freedom. And some of us know it as a celebration, but it comes later as the result of release and freedom. So the original meaning is release. And we've been praying that God would release us from all types of bondage and grant us the freedom in all areas, such as physical, emotional, and spiritual, and even financial freedom. And this morning, I'm going to review our spiritual jubilee, that is the freedom from the bondage of sin and death. No one can be spiritually free without forgiveness. We need God's forgiveness first of our trespasses, and then we need to forgive each other. In fact, that's what the Christmas is all about. It's about Jubilee. It's about God sending His Son, Jesus, to set us free from our sin. And the same God wants us to forgive each other. And I pray and hope that all of us would finish this year, 2017, with clear conviction and conscience that first our sins are forgiven by God through our repentance, and that we also have forgiven those who trespassed against us. Now think about Christmas. It's about Jesus' birth, as Pauline says, right? As we read this morning. But behind His birth story, you and I see the love of God who sent His Son Jesus to save us from our sins. Think of the meaning of Jesus' name. It means God saves. Whom? His people. God saves us. From what? From our sins. God sent Jesus, His Son, to save us from our sins. That's the Christmas message. But let's not forget, all the sins bear the consequences, which the Bible calls the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid that wages of sin, our sins, through His own death on the cross. One sin for all, and in full price, so that we may be forgiven. So for the rest of my sermon this morning, I'm going to explain to you the three aspects of forgiveness. I'm sure you all understand this. The first one is this. Forgiveness is reciprocal. First, God forgives us, and in turn, we forgive each other. It is always twofold. When God forgives our sins, He expects us to reciprocate it amongst us. Freely you have received, Jesus says, therefore freely give. Now, if you and I refuse to forgive our trespassers, those who trespass against us, it is selfish of us. It is disobedience to God too, because He commands us to forgive others. Furthermore, it is to our eternal disadvantage if we do not forgive others, because our sins will remain unforgiven when we die, and no one can enter heaven with sins remaining. Therefore, it will cost us eternal life. If you read Matthew 18, you'll see a wonderful story we call parable. Parable is a story with a lesson behind it. Jesus shared the story of a king and two servants. The king one day, let's call servant A and servant B. The king one day called his servant A and telling him, you owe me $1 million in current, you know, contemporary value. But you didn't pay me back yet, so I'm going to keep you in prison until you pay me every single dollar. Servant A, raising his hands and asking for mercy from the king, your majesty, please be patient with me. Have mercy on me. I'll pay you back. Give me some time. And when the king heard that plea, his heart was touched with compassion. And the king says, all right, why do I need $1 million? Okay, I'll let you go free. The servant A was really excited and he was very happy. So on his way home, he found his fellow servant B, who, servant B, happened to owe servant A about $1,000. So he went to his friend and just grabbed his, you know, collar and saying that, when are you going to pay me back? And servant B says, please, friend, give me some time. But servant A refused to hear, and he put his friend in jail. Well, the king heard of all this story between the two servants, and he summoned servant A back and saying, didn't I show you mercy and compassion to you? But you didn't show the same mercy and compassion to your friend. Let me tell you this. I'm going to keep you in prison until you pay me off. After this parable, this is what Jesus concludes. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Forgiveness is mutual. Next thing is this, forgiveness is divine. Alexander Pope, the 18th century English poet, once said, I quote, to err is human, to forgive divine. We heard of this expression many times. Mr. Pope must have understood well the nature of forgiveness. We need God. It is divine to forgive others. Without God, forgiveness is impossible. Without faith in God and without God's help, no one can truly forgive others' sins from their hearts. Now, you may think that to forgive someone in your life is impossible. No wonder. You just affirmed what I said. It is impossible to forgive when you rely on your own strength and might. But it is possible when you rely on God's power. When God gives you strength, you can forgive your worst enemy. But only when you rely on, not on your strength, but on God's. Here's a wonderful story for you to take home today. You heard of this story before many a time. The story of Joseph, not the father, or just, you know, the husband of Mary, but another Joseph years back. Who was Joseph? Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he had 12 sons. Joseph happened to be the 11th son. The sad story of Joseph is that he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Would you like that? No, I would not. Even though Joseph was a righteous man who lived a blameless life before God, even to such a righteous man, forgiveness was not easy at all. Let me tell you, it took him 22 years to forgive his older brothers. You need to know how mean and jealous and cruel his older brothers were to him. You see, the trouble began with Jacob's favoritism. Jacob had 12 sons, but he showed his favoritism to one particular son whose name was Joseph. When he provided a plain, you know, just no collar, you know, robe to his 11 sons, guess what? He chose a very colorful robe and gave it to Joseph. All through the years, no wonder his brothers resented. So the older brothers came up with a plan. They plotted against Joseph to put him to death. And finally the chance has arrived. One day they threw him into a pit and they blocked their ears to Joseph's cry for help. He says, "Brothers, what are you doing to me?" And they just blocked their ears. Thank God they didn't kill him, but they ended up selling him to slavery in Egypt for 20 coins. So for the next 22 years in Joseph's heart, the brothers were, what, the source of bitterness and anger. Eventually, Joseph was able to forgive his brothers. And this is how he did it. One day, 22 years later, there was a great famine in the land where his brothers were living. And then they ran out of food, so they heard that there are plenty of food in the land of Egypt. So they went down, 10 altogether, to Egypt to buy grains. Now to get the clearance from the Egyptian kingdom, you have to go through some kind of custom and presided over by the prime minister. So their brothers had no idea they were bowing down to the prime minister, but the prime minister happened to be their younger brother Joseph. Of course they had no idea. However, Joseph noticed the brothers right away. If you were Joseph, if I were Joseph, it could have been a moment of sweet revenge. Oh, my brothers. I don't know about you, that's how I feel. I don't think it was easy for Joseph to resist the temptation of revenge. But Joseph chose not to be the avenger. He wouldn't play God in revenge. Instead, this is what he told his brothers. I'm just reading Genesis 45, few verses here. "Come close to me, brothers. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping." In other words, there will be 5 more years of famine. "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God." In these 5 verses, folks, he repeated 3 times, "It was not you, my brothers, but it was God who sent me ahead of our family." Who helped Joseph to change his mind from revenge to forgiveness? It was God, wasn't it? God convicted Joseph that he sent him. It is God who sent him into Egypt, not his brothers, to save lives years later. Joseph had seen in his own life too that God turned the evil meant by his brothers into good for his entire clan. When Joseph realized that the good in the end was far greater than the bad in the beginning, he was able to forgive his brothers. The baby just say amen. How about you folks? Do you have some people in your life who have wronged you? Are you still holding grudges against them for years? May God open your eyes and heart to see that forgiveness is not only necessary, but also possible in God. May you see God's protection and providence in your life, as Joseph did. May you see that the outcome is far better than your ordeal. And only then you can forgive those who harmed you. Forgiveness is divine. The final aspect of forgiveness is this. It's about initiative, God's initiative and our own initiative. Think of God's forgiveness. When God sent Jesus to us, we didn't ask for him, but God initiated it. He knew exactly what we humans needed the most. I use the word the most. Of course, there are many other things we could use now, such as liberty from hunger or thirst, or political liberation, or even peace and unity among races and nations. All important, but not the most important thing for us. What is it? Most important thing for us is freedom from sin and death. That's why Jesus came. So when you and I believe in Jesus, and when we repent our sins through our faith and accept His forgiveness, and our sins are forgiven because of God's initiative. Forgiveness is about His divine initiative. It is also about our own initiative. When you think of the forgiving of those who trespass against us, there are two ways to do it. The first one is this. When they come to us and say, "I'm sorry, I've done wrong to you. Would you forgive me?" And you say, "Okay, I'll forgive you." That's one way to do it. The second way, which is more challenging, the first one is this. They never come to us. They never repent. They even don't say that they're sorry. Still, we are to forgive. This is why. Because it is God's will for us to forgive the trespassers whether they repent or not. It's getting tough, isn't it? Now, think of the following cases. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, their crowd at the foot of the cross, what the crowd did to the Jesus was this. "Oh, you call yourself Messiah, right? You said you're going to save all the people. Why don't you save yourself and come down from the cross and show us that you're mighty? Then we'll believe." They were making fun of Jesus, and they were hurling insults at Him. You know what Jesus did? "Father, forgive them." That's what He says. These folks showed no sign of repentance, but Jesus still forgave them. Here's another man whose name was Stephen. He was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And he was witnessing to the name of Jesus before the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, and they were so mad at him and they stoned him to death before Stephen expired. This is what he said. "Father," looking into heaven, he says, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." He did not wait until these folks, who killed him after all, repented. No, he just forgave them. Consider Joseph one more time, the son of Jacob. How did he forgive his brothers? Did he do so after they were all repentant? Not really. He didn't wait for them to say that they were sorry. All these cases reminds us that we take initiative, be proactive to forgive those who hurt us, even though they never say sorry. As I said, it's not easy at all, but with God's help, we can do the same, as Jesus did, and Joseph did, and Stephen did. Now here's a question, fundamental question, the question of justice. Our question is, what's going to happen to those who hurt us yet never repent of their sins? God's word answers in two ways. I hope you remember this. First of all, God says, "Vengeance is my business, not yours." When the brothers of Joseph, they were so afraid, you know, they came down to Egypt and they lived together for years, until Jacob was alive, the father, and Jacob finally died, and the Joseph's 10 brothers began to worry about, our father is gone now, and our younger brother, Joseph, is going to get even with us. You see, human nature. And Joseph heard of it, and he went to them and said, assured them, "No, don't worry, I am not an avenger." Saying this, "Am I in place of God?" Joseph knew. It's not his business. Romans 12, 17 through 21 says this, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.'" I believe in God's promise that He will make everything fair. He's the fairest of all. Second answer from God's word is this. Each one of us will be repaid for our deeds, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. God will handle it. Let him do it." As for closing, I will say this. Do you want a jubilee in your spirit, the freedom in your spirit? And do not then postpone another day to forgive your enemy. You may want to say to me, "Pastor Choi, you have no idea what he or she has done to me. I will never forgive that woman or man." Let me tell you this. I heard you. I heard your pain, and I respect it's your choice. But you have to remember, I'm most concerned about your spiritual well-being. Let me tell you this. If you do not forgive, your sins will remain unforgiven. God says, "I will never forgive your sins unless you forgive other sins." That's what the scripture says. Remember also that forgiveness is done with your will, not with your emotion. Some of us, if most of us waiting until we have that feeling, "Oh, that's all right. Finally, I feel like I should forgive that person." How often that comes? You waited for years and it hasn't come. Forgiveness is done with your will. So with that all understanding, I pray that we forgive and enjoy the freedom and the jubilee in Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, once again I proclaim your word and speak to our hearts, Lord, so that we forgive everyone in our life. I pray for those folks who struggled forgiveness for years. I pray that, Lord, you open up their hearts and willingness, give willingness to obey you, and give them the strength and power to do your will, so that indeed they're clean in terms of forgiveness. That's the spiritual freedom we are looking for. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.